The Indian Child Welfare Act, it works when it's followed. The issues are when court personnel and social workers don't follow the law, when they discourage a child from admitting that they're Native.
That's Angeline Bully, and I'm Dan Skinner. This is Conversations. Angeline Bully's debut young adult novel was the New York Times bestselling Firekeeper's Daughter. It was named one of the top 100 young adult novels of all time by Time magazine. She joins us to talk about her latest novel, Sisters in the Wind. When the past comes for revenge, it's fight or flight. Angeline, welcome to Conversations.
It's my pleasure to be here.
In this novel, as well as your last novel, you've incorporated elements of your heritage. So tell us a bit about that and why it's important for you to include those in your novels.
Absolutely. So I'm an enrolled member of the Sault Ste. Marie Tribe of Chippewa Indians. We are based in the eastern Upper Peninsula of Michigan. My father was born and raised on Sugar Island there and met my mom when he was in the Navy. My mom's not Native. And so other than a stint in Washington, D.C., I've lived in Michigan my whole life.
Was there a particular inspiration for this novel?
Yes, the U.S. Supreme Court in Holland v. Brackeen was decided in 2023, and the Supreme Court ruled to uphold the lower court decision upholding the Indian Child Welfare Act. But we know that it's a matter of time before someone else challenges, uses a different legal argument. The Indian Child Welfare Act, it works when it's followed. The issues are when court personnel and social workers don't follow the law, when they discourage a child from admitting that they're Native and viewing it as more paperwork, when really it's denying a connection to their heritage, to their family. And we know that children and teens who are connected to their community, to their family, extended family, they have better outcomes. They have better outcomes in school and behavioral health.
Tell us about the plot of this latest novel.
This novel follows 18-year-old Lucy Smith. She has recently aged out of the foster care system, and a stranger comes to her and offers to connect her with her Native family. And she didn't know she was Native growing up, had always been asked, but answered no. That was the truth as far as she knew it. And then to find out that after being in the foster care system, with the Indian Child Welfare Act not followed, that she was denied an entire experience with a family.
In this story, she's being offered the opportunity to connect with family, but she really doesn't know if she can trust this person that approaches her because she's learned to, well, basically not trust people because of all her previous experiences.
True. So she's on the run, actually. So she, as much as there's a part of her that wants to connect with family, there's another part that's, you know, she is in danger. Some experiences that she had in foster care have left her very vulnerable. And so her concern is to get away, get out of the state, rather than this mystery man, an attorney named Jamie, who is offering her this opportunity. And she just wants to get out of town.
Well, in this case, she obviously is distrustful of what is happening, but she also wants to know what's happening as well with her background. And the subtitle to your book talks about when the past comes for revenge. It's, you know, it's fight or flight. So without giving away any spoilers, tease us a bit more about this storyline. What are the sort of things that are in her past that would be coming to her for revenge?
Well, the day after this attorney, Jamie, connects with her, she's on her way to leave town as soon as she's done working. And the diner where she works is bombed. And she knows it was meant for her. And so she suffers a, you know, leg injury that makes it impossible for her to run away, literally. And so she is dependent on Jamie and his friend Donis, readers may remember from my first book. They're trying to help her, and they know she is full of secrets and So they're trying to help her the best they can, but she often gets in her own way.
This novel, like the previous novel, The Firekeeper's Daughter, features a strong female character. Why make that choice? Why was it important for you to have strong female characters in both of your novels?
Those are the women that I know. In my previous career in Indian education, you know, I've been able to travel all over the country, meet tribal leaders, and I'm just in awe of women who are in leadership positions, particularly in education, and they don't just advocate for their own children and their own family. They advocate for everybody's children and everybody's family. And that's the type of strong leadership that I see. And so, you know, how do these strong, we call them Nishkwe, a strong Native woman, how does she get that way? And so it's these experiences during the teen years and young adulthood that I think define, and I love writing strong women, nuanced, not perfect, makes plenty of mistakes. To me, that's exciting.
Well, we've talked a bit about the plot of this novel, but during the course of telling this story, what are some of the issues that you raise and hope to maybe bring to awareness for your readers?
Some of the issues are the role of the church in removing children from homes, the history behind that, the use of white middle class values of social workers and court personnel who deem a Native home unfit and will remove children, even though the children are on a reservation and we know poverty is endemic. And yet that's the reason why a child might be removed from their home. And so those are some of the other issues that we get into.
In addition to drawing upon your knowledge of your culture, what additional research did this novel pose for you?
Well, I did read the entire 1974 Senate subcommittee hearing, which led to the passage of the Indian Child Welfare Act in 1978. I also read, 30 plus amicus briefs that were filed both for and opposed to ICWA, Indian Child Welfare Act, in the Supreme Court case in 2023. But I also interviewed friends, family, community members, people who are former foster children and what that experience was, and current foster parents and what their experience is. So I really try to balance the, I would say, more academic and technical research that I read with these very personal interviews and people sharing, stories, both heartbreaking and affirming placements where, they did find a sense of family and were able to stay in their community and family and grow up with their culture. So I used one of those real life examples with the family's permission of a young girl named Gimiwan, who is an actual young girl who, as a baby, the tribal social services went to her extended family. And it was a cousin auntie who, says, Gimiwan started out as my niece, my cousin, but through ICWA, through blood, through family, she's my daughter now. And I loved that beautiful outcome. And so I had permission to include that as a real example that Lucy learns about.
Well, this is classified as a young adult novel. So for what age group does that encompass?
I think the recommendation from Macmillan is 14 and up, which is basically high school. Now, I was always a kid who read far older than my years. And so I would say anything younger than 14, definitely a family member, a parent, guardian should maybe take a look at the book. But it's very much adult crossover. Lucy is 18. And so I just love that space of the very upper edge of young adult and into adult crossover.
Well, I've talked with a number of young adult authors, and they say that they frequently have adult readers to their novels, that a good story is a good story. And it really doesn't make any difference that it was marketed as a young adult because, it can be enjoyed by anyone over 14 years old.
Sure. And I think that authors who write young adult, that they have a care and trust for that reader, maybe for even that youngest of the readers. I liken it to the Hippocratic Oath that physicians take of first do no harm. And it's, you can talk about very difficult topics. You can talk about controversial subjects. It's the way in which you do it. And there is a care and concern for that younger reader. And that's what makes young adult, I think, so special. A lot of adults like it because it gets to the plot quicker. It doesn't meander. Because we know if a teen isn't engaged in a book in the first 50 pages, good luck, you know, with them finishing it. And so there really is just that the way the author weaves the story, it gets to the crisis quicker, but it's done so with care.
Angeline, there's a question that I like to ask authors of fiction, and it's this. If you could spend a day in real life with one of the characters from this novel, who would it be and why?
Oh, wow. I've never been asked that question. Wow. There is a reason you do what you do. I think I would want to spend it with Lucy, the main character. I think that, you know, I would want to hear more from her and show her around my community and help introduce her to family and friends and share, you know, the cultural teachings I've received with her.
This current book is Sisters in the Wind. What's next for you?
Well, if you look at my three previous books, Firekeeper's Daughter, Element of Fire, Warrior Girl Unearthed, Element of Earth, and Sisters in the Wind, that Element of Air. So my fourth book will involve water. It'll involve the Line 5 pipeline protests and the ways in which women, we receive water teachings, but what happens if the water is toxic. And so I'm really excited to be working on my fourth book.
Well, this current young adult novel is Sisters in the Wind by Angeline Bulley. Angeline, thank you for talking with me today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Miigwech. Thank you.
You'll find more interviews on a wide variety of topics at kansaspublicradio.org/conversations. You can use the KPR app to listen to the latest episodes on your phone or tablet, and you'll also find us on Facebook. I'm Dan Skinner. Thanks for listening.